I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dirtbag Baseball Talk Show here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network. Kirk and Nolan in the studio as always, and hey, excited to be back for another episode for sure, and thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the nation, everybody, wherever you are, wherever you're listening, and hopefully you've had a great week. Obviously, we'll be talking about our thoughts on how the World Series wrapped up from last week's episode, and then we'll be talking about the regular season awards, our thoughts and opinions on that. Hey, send in yours as well to us. Love to get them, as we always say, Kirk at DirtbagBaseballNation.com. And hey, we'll go from there. So it's going to be a good show. But before we get going with it, we do want to give our quick shout out to the guys over at Rip Grip Pro. That's the hitting training device that we train with and for hitters. And hey, check them out. Check them out at ripgrippro.com. And excited to have them on board with us for sure. Great team over there with Tress and Drew. So great company. Check them out. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook at Dirtbag Baseball Nation. You can follow us on YouTube at Dirtbag Baseball Nation as well. And next week, I will have on our YouTube channel, Drew Martinez. He's a minor league manager with the San Francisco Giants and big believer in the Rip Grip Pro. So him and I sat back and had a good conversation about it and what he recommends and how he recommends using it and for the various age groups. You know, it's just a good conversation and great to have him on with us and talking. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to do that episode, so check that out next week. Again, we'll be doing some posts before that. And again, before we get started, Nolan and I do want to give a huge shout-out to Remembrance Day coming up here in Canada, Veterans Day in the U.S., and all the veterans, all the present military around the world, wherever you are. We can't thank you enough for doing what you do every day, so we have the privilege to be able to do what we do every day. Just need to take a moment and make sure that we really step back on Friday and take it in and just realize how lucky we are to be able to live in the world we live in because of the work that you do. So thank you very much. And finally, head on over to DirtbagBaseballNation.com for all your apparel, our hats. We do now have the rope trainer up, which we've been involved with since 2017, throwing aid. You can get that there as well. And again, if you have questions about it, reach out to me, DM me on Instagram. We'll be happy to talk about it. So anyways, get that favorite drink, settle into that favorite chair, sit back and get ready because we're going to get rolling right after the break.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I'm asking about Prevnar 20 because there's a chance pneumococcal pneumonia could put me in the hospital.
Age 65 or older, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I want to be able to keep my plans.
So I'm asking my doctor about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
Progressive presents Forced Metaphors, about bundling your home, auto, and other vehicles.
Any sports fan knows defense wins championships. Your championship is your boat, motorcycle, RV, or ATV. And your best defense is the round-the-clock protection offered by Progressive, which is like having a goalie, a 7-foot shot-blocking specialist, and a linebacker all wrapped into one. Which, to circle back, means you're going to win the championship. Because, you know, defense.
Forced Metaphors, presented by Progressive. Bundle and protect today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.
For all your printing needs this holiday, Staples has you covered.
I need custom printed holiday cards for my one-of-a-kind business.
Staples has you covered.
It's beginning to look a lot like I need custom party invites fast.
I need cards for everyone who gave me a hand this year without spending an arm and a leg.
Staples has you covered with personalized holiday cards and invites. And now save 40% on custom holiday cards and invitations. For everything you need printed, go to Staples, the working and learning store. In-store and online ends 12/17. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm onto something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Welcome back, Dirtbags, and hey, like I said, we're going to get right into it. Our thoughts and opinions of games, four, five, and six, Nolan. When we did our episode last week, things were rolling for the Phillies. Rolling. They had five home runs. The game three looked like they were in total control of that series, and all of a sudden the wheels fall off, and Christian Javier said, hold on just a second.
Yeah, I mean, throws the third no-hitter in postseason history. Obviously, this was the first combination no-hitter in postseason history. The other two, a perfect game by Don Sutton back in 1956 in the World Series for the New York Yankees. And then you got, obviously, the Doc, Roy Halladay, who, I mean, he was one of our favorites, especially one of mine when I was growing up as a kid. Like, obviously, played for Toronto Blue Jays, then goes over to the Philadelphia Phillies, first postseason game, too. And then he throws the no-hitter. Like, that was crazy back in the day. And then, I mean, obviously, in today's day and age, you don't really see too many pitchers going complete games in the postseason anymore. But you got Christian Javier starting it off six strong, especially after, I mean, that Tuesday night schlacking that the Philadelphia Phillies put on Lance McCullers. And I thought that it was hilarious because at the end of the series, you see Lance McCullers. He's the one that's giving the speech at the end of it. And I saw a meme come out the very next morning saying when you do absolutely nothing on the group project and still get an A. And I'm like, yeah, that's about right. Cause I think he had what, like a 9.64 postseason ERA or something like that this year. It was absolutely atrocious, but either way, yeah, no, you're looking at it. And I mean, I thought for sure it was going to be Phillies probably winning it in six or seven. Just because of the way that they were swinging the bats pretty much all postseason. I mean, the team was built around offensive juggernauts, and the bats just went absolutely quiet for games four, five, and six. I mean, kudos to Houston Astros pitching. Obviously, all year they'd been basically right at the top, if not the top, in most of them. I mean, you look at their postseason ERA, they set the lowest for the free agent era of all time with, what, I think a .88 ERA or something like that. And you're just looking at it and you're like, God damn, man, that was their MO pretty much all year. Solid defense, timely hitting. And then, yeah, that shutdown pitching. Obviously, you're looking at it. You get Jeremy Pena, first rookie shortstop to hit a home run in the postseason. First shortstop to have six straight games with a hit. First shortstop as well to win MVP as a rookie. I think fifth shortstop all time to win World Series MVP. And I'm pretty sure he was the last one, if I'm not mistaken, was David Eckstein all the way back in 2006, if I'm remembering correctly. But either way, yeah, it was one of those things where you're looking at it. Yordan Alvarez, obviously, timely hit. But that one, Game 6, I want to talk about that because there wasn't a hell of a lot that happened in Game 4 or 5 outside of, obviously, the no-hitter in Game 4. You're looking at it. You got Zach Wheeler. He's thrown 5 good innings. 1-0 game at that point. All of a sudden, they put in Jose Alvarado. They wanted to go the lefty-lefty matchup. Alvarado gives him an absolute cookie at 99 right down the middle to Yordan Alvarez. Yordan Alvarez turns on at 450 feet. But that's one where you're looking at it. You paid Zach Wheeler, what, $22 million a year? I think his was a 5-year 110, if I'm not mistaken. You're looking at it, and you're like, why the heck do managers do this year in, year out in the postseason? Where they pull their guy, where they're still rolling. It's not like he had given up a hard hit to that point. And sure enough, comes back to bite him in the butt. I get it. You want to go lefty-lefty, but Alvarado has sucked all postseason.
Well, and he hit him when he came in the game before, right? First pitch, plucked him.
Yeah, blew away that lead in Game 5.
Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, as a pitcher, I'm going to talk about it right there, Nolan, and the fact that that's in your head. I don't care what you say. Those are things that we talk about all the time about mindset, right? That's in your mind. I don't care that you're a professional. You're a human being still. And you're coming in there, you're like, man, I don't want to bust him inside. I know I need to bust him inside, but I don't want to because I don't want to hit him again. I don't care what anybody says. Down the road, if you got talking with Alvarado, that's what he's thinking and that's what he's saying. You know, whether he ever admits it or doesn't, I just, yeah.
He had zero confidence. Yeah.
And that is one where, like you said, I mean, I get the old, you know, hey, shove him right back in there and get him out, get him into a positive result. And it's over and forgotten about it. You got to have a short memory as a reliever. I get that. But boy, when you're in the World Series under a pressure cooker like that, you just don't forget. You simply don't forget. And I got to believe that, you know, Yordan was sitting there thinking it, right? Because he missed it, or he didn't miss it. He was sitting, looking, dead red. He got it. See you later. Thanks. Series is over? I don't know. I do want to go down to Javier again, though. I mean, no hitter, World Series, but the second one this year, too, against two big juggernaut offenses. Does it the Yankees and the Phillies. That's a year. That's a heck of a year. The Verlander game, I was really disappointed. I want to nail the Philly hitters on that one. I thought, again, I see it all the time in the playoffs. Nobody wants to change their swing 2 strikes. You're in the World Series. You don't get those chances very often. You better put the team first, man. You better adjust. Realmuto didn't do it. Castellanos didn't do it. They had Verlander on the ropes. Bases loaded. He's pitching his D game at that point in time, which every starter goes through. He gets out of it unscathed. Harper has a double 2 innings later, I believe it is. Less than 2 out. Can't score him. All of a sudden, he throws up 6 innings, 1 run. Gets his first World Series win. Turns a D game into an A-plus game. At a crucial time, too. So kudos to Baker. Kudos to Baker for not coming out, just letting him do what he is proven and capable of doing. And he did it. And I mean, but for me, the Philly hitters, undisciplined in the fact that they weren't willing to adjust and put a ball in play. I'm not talking about taking 50% off of your swing, but they're good enough. They're the top in the world. And they're striking out looking terrible or popping up to the infield on pitches that were balls. There was just no game plan there for me.
Well, and even that, too. I mean, like, obviously, in the ninth inning, Chaz McCormick, I'll tip my cap. That was a hell of a catch on JT Realmuto. Pounded the ball in the gap. Would have been a double for sure. Actually, McCormick probably, he's got enough speed and a good enough arm that it probably would have stayed a double. But, I mean, that was a play where he went all out, kept it at the 3-2 game at that point in time. That was to get the second out in the ninth inning. But, like just kind of what you were talking about there, Kirk. I mean, game six, you're looking at it. They get the leadoff guy on base. Then all of a sudden, two straight outs. Harper obviously pops out to left field. And then very next batter is Nick Castellanos. I don't even know if it was a designed hit and run or what the game plan was there. But two out in the ninth inning, you're down 4-1. It was basically a moot point to even try and steal the guy. And Castellanos chases a cutter that's 3-4 inches off of the block on the very first pitch and hits a weak pop fly out to Kyle Tucker in foul territory. I'm just looking at it. I'm like, what was the game plan here? Like, were you guys trying to do a hit and run with two out in the ninth inning? Like, nothing about it made sense. Like you said, I mean, it just seemed like games 4, 5, and 6, Phillies hitters just didn't have a game plan there. Like, it was just a true, absolute 180 from games 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, we say it all the time, right? How hitting's contagious both ways. Contagious up, contagious down. And by that point, they were in their own heads. And they were beat. It was as simple as that. And you know, we always bash on the Astros. You know our opinion on them. But hey, hats off. And another hats off, because that's why they win during the regular season and went 11-2 this year in the playoffs as well. Because when they need to put the ball in play, those guys top to bottom, they put the ball in play. They make the adjustments. They throw their own ego out the window, and they get the job done. So on that note, kudos. Dusty Baker, what, gets the extra year out of the contract? Life is good in Houston right now. They're looking good next year. All those pieces are there. They got that young Brown kid. Man.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Verlander. Obviously, he's their big free agent, but outside of him, really, the whole entire core is coming back. And I mean, obviously, you got one of the three MVP finalists in Yordan Alvarez taking the next step. So, I mean, we'll be right back after the break. We'll get talking about the awards.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. Again, that's 800-449-1759.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you.
Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
All right. Time to get after it, Nolan. Regular season awards. Where do you want to go?
So let's start out with the MVPs. I mean, you got your three MVP finalists. You got Yordan Alvarez, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani for the American League. National League, you got Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Manny Machado. We'll start out with the American League. Yordan Alvarez, obviously great year, injured partially through it. I mean, he's a Marcus Semien of last year. Kudos to you. You had a damn good year. Most other years, you're probably going to get second place, I'd say, for AL MVP. This year, I mean, it's obviously, in my opinion, no real competition. Like, Shohei Ohtani, I tip my cap to you, man. You had a hell of a year. Offensively regressed a little bit from last year, if you want to say it's a regression. I mean, obviously, the guy still had, 34 home runs, 11 stolen bases, 95 RBIs, went 15-9 with a 2.33 ERA and 219 strikeouts as a pitcher. Honestly, I'd say overall it was a better year than last year. And I think he's going to finish second for MVP. But when a guy leads the world for basically every offensive category and sets the American League home run record, I think it's tough to vote against Mr. Aaron Judge, the free agent to be set to cash in.
Yeah, I've been on Ohtani all year, as you know, and I still like him. For me, I still like him, but exactly right. Judge loses out on, the Triple Crown to Luis Arraez right in the, second last game of the year or whatever, and that he finally lost the average to him and stuff. But, hey, it's the type of season you've been waiting a long time. We all have been, right, Dirtbags? For Judge to put it together, he stayed healthy. He showed you, he showed us all. He showed the world what he's capable of doing. Now he sits back and he's going to drive the off season. It all goes around him. It has to. I love Judge. I do love Judge. So, you know, I know it's going to him. It's got to go to him, and hell of a year. What can you say? Ohtani, hell of a year. Alvarez, I just don't think he's even close to those two. Really don't. I mean, you slide a third guy in there because you have to, I think, this year or whatever, but those two are runaways. Runaways, what they're doing. What they're doing in the game is unbelievable. You're going to watch them play. It's as simple as that. That's why they're MVPs.
National League, Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, he was MVP for 4 out of the 6 months. April, I guess it was Nolan Arenado still because he won Player of the Month for National League. He was obviously my guy at the start of the year. I said Nolan Arenado, so I'm glad that I got one of the top three predictions right because most of my other predictions were just god-awful, it seemed like. But, I mean, yeah, you're looking at it. Obviously, Goldschmidt, he was in the Triple Crown race right up until the final month. Struggled down the stretch. Obviously, a tough September and into October. But, I mean, you're looking at the overall body of work that he did, and the obviously it's at the end of the regular season on when they do the voting. Hit 317, 35, and 115. Led the National League in slugging and OPS. And, I mean, it was his best year of his career, in my opinion. Obviously, yeah, he's my guy. I think it's tough to vote against him. Like I said, he was MVP pretty much the whole year. Carried the Cardinals for the most part. The only thing that I could say for Manny Machado is just the fact that he was the one guy, air quotations around that, to carry the team for most of the year for San Diego. But you're looking at the overall record for the Padres, and that was a team that really, in my opinion, did not live up to the expectations. Obviously, they make the moves at the deadline. They get your Juan Soto, who, I mean, for the most part was a bust, I guess, if you want to call it that. He wasn't the guy that they thought that they were acquiring. Josh Bell, same boat. Brandon Drury, they go out, get him. You're looking at the overall team. I mean, yeah, Manny Machado did his part and carried him into the playoffs. But at that point in time, I mean, they were a team that was basically just struggling to get by.
Yeah, and I give a lot of credit to Machado, too, because when the Fernando Tatis situation arose there, he didn't even hesitate. He jumped right on it. He called him out. He did MVP-type stuff, right, for your team at that point in time. He nipped it in the bud. He made a blunt, harsh comment that you don't see a lot of players, especially in the same clubhouse, make, and he did it. And he owned it and took control of that team, or kept control of that team, if you will, and was able to help navigate them into the playoffs. You're right, Goldie, he disappeared the last month. There's no question about it. It was disappointing to see him disappear like he did. Thank God Albert Pujols was doing what he was doing in September or whatever, and the world kind of forgot about it as well. But exactly right. I don't know. That's a loaded field on that side. Those are three great players that all bring a ton of MVP quality stuff to the table. So I really don't know where that one's going to lie. Yeah, I thought it was Goldie for sure. I honestly can't even make a call. I just don't know.
You're looking at the overall, and I mean, I know at the end of the day, voters love to write on war. So Manny Machado, in terms of war, technically is the favorite. He led the National League for war with a 7.4 compared to Arenado and Goldschmidt's 7.3s. But to me, at the end of the day, I mean, like, you're looking at it, and it's basically all similar stat lines across the board. You got, outside of Goldschmidt, who had a better offensive year, and Arenado obviously had the best defensive year out of the three, winning his 10th Gold Glove at third base, while Manny Machado wasn't even a finalist. But I mean, you're looking at it. Goldschmidt, 317, 35, 115. Arenado, 293, 30, and 103. And then obviously the Gold Glove to boot. And then Machado was 298, 32, and 102. So, like, that's kind of why, to me, I mean, end of the day, I think offense still weighs heavily in Paul Goldschmidt's favor, especially since Machado didn't win a Gold Glove over Nolan Arenado, and the offensive stats are comparable. Regardless, yeah, like you said, I think it's going to be close, but I still think the voters, basically, they had their minds made up in July, pretty much, that Paul Goldschmidt was National League MVP. So I can't change that vote.
Definitely. He did the job, right? He did the job, except for September or whatever. So, and the numbers still look good at the end of the day.
Cy Young for American League, you got Dylan Cease, Alec Manoa, Justin Verlander. National League, Alcantara, Max Fried, Julio Urias. I don't really think we need to talk too much about this one. Justin Verlander, for me, AL Cy Young, had his best season probably since his MVP year. Honestly, I mean, you're looking at it, 1.75 ERA, 185 strikeouts, sub one whip, 2 years off of Tommy John. Guy comes back, turns back the clock at 40, like, unbelievable year. And that's not even a knock on Manoa, who, I mean, for his second year up in the majors, 16-7, 2.24 ERA, and a 180 strikeouts. That was, it was a hell of a year. Dylan Cease, you're looking at it, 14-8, 2.2 ERA, 227 strikeouts. Ultimately, I think the record hurts Dylan Cease.
It's a tough year, right? It's one of those situations where he's a Cy Young. What the White Sox did this year was just unfortunate for him, because that kid looks good, man, and he's just getting better every year. It's exciting. I agree with you. Verlander right there.
National League, I'm same boat. I'm saying Sandy Alcantara.
I think so.
I've said it for a while. The year that he put up, I mean, I don't even think we need to get deep into it. 14-9 record, 2.28 ERA, major league high, 228 and two-thirds innings. Led the league for complete games, led major leagues, actually, for complete games. You're looking at it, and that guy was just a true difference maker for the Miami Marlins. Kept him in literally every single game that he pitched.
100%. Nothing to talk about. Glad for Julio Urias with what happened out in L.A. Great to see him get a nod, but Alcantara all day.
AL Rookie of the Year, you got Stephen Kwan, Julio Rodriguez, Adley Rutschman. National League, Brendan Donovan, Michael Harris, Spencer Strider. American League, we were a little bit surprised. Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't even one of the finalists based on the year that he had. Obviously, it was a historical year, being, what, I think the fifth player from what we saw to do 2020 as a rookie. And, I mean, obviously the average hurt him. Like, he didn't have that high average, not spectacular defensive year, I guess, if you want to say that. But you're looking at the kid overall. I think he's going to be a cornerstone player for the Kansas City Royals. To me, I mean, Julio Rodriguez, still the AL Rookie of the Year. That guy, he just had an unbelievable year. 284, 28, 25, 147 OPS plus, played good defense. Adley Rutschman, I tip my cap. You just came up too late in the year, obviously, to really earn that vote. Stephen Kwan, hell of a year too. 298 average, 6 bombs, 19 stolen bases, more walks than strikeouts. Wins Gold Glove as well, so that helps his candidacy. But you're looking at it, Julio, I think, has got to run away with that.
Hands down, Julio, like you said, Adley, exciting. Can't wait to see what the future holds for the guy. Came up second half, did great things, but Julio all day long in that one.
Now, this one to me, I think, is going to be the closest race out of all the major awards between Michael Harris and Spencer Strider. No disrespect to Brendan Donovan. Great year. 281 average, 394 on base. Won a Gold Glove for the util. But you're looking at it, and this is a Michael Harris-Spencer Strider race.
I got a gut feeling that Harris is going to win, but for me, it'd be Strider. I love what that kid did. I was so impressed with him and just looking forward to 2023 already.
See, I'm the same boat as you, especially since Strider pretty much started the year out with Atlanta. I mean, albeit as a reliever to start out, but you're looking at it. And Michael Harris, I mean, I got to give credit. That guy played a phenomenal center field. He brought back shades of Andrew Jones for Atlanta Braves fans. 19, 20 stolen bases, 297 average, 135 OPS plus, led all National League rookies with a 5.3 war. I mean, Spencer Strider, 11-5, 2.67 ERA, 202 strikeouts in what, I think it was only like 135 innings or something like that pitched this year.
Guy's electric.
Like, yeah, I mean, that one to me, like I said, it's a toss-up. I don't know which way the voters are going to go. I think they're probably going to give it to Harris just because he's a center fielder and not a pitcher, but regardless, tip my cap to you guys.
Bottom line is, if you're a Braves fan, you're excited. You are not trembling about the Mets at all. You're excited about what they have down there. Man, you get Soroka back, hopefully healthy or whatever, finally. Hey, we'll keep talking about it after the break, though, dirtbags.
Progressive's Home Quote Explorer lets you easily compare our direct rates with multiple companies. Now that we've covered something you could do, it's time for sports stuff you definitely could not do.
If you were head coach, you would not have gone for it on fourth down. Your confidence in your play calling ability might be a little overblown, considering you're barely confident in which restaurant to order takeout from, let alone choosing a play in front of 70,000 screaming fans.
But you definitely can use Progressive's Home Quote Explorer to easily compare rates. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
TrackPhone wants to know, are you an influencer, a big live streamer? No? Then guess what? You don't need an endless data plan. Get just the right amount of data with TrackPhone's $40 unlimited talk and text smartphone plan. Now with 8 gigs of high-speed data and unlimited carryover on America's largest, most dependable network, now with 5G. Get the data you need at the price you want. TrackPhone Wireless. Now you're in control. Available at major retailers. 5G-compatible device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at TrackPhone.com.
At the United States Postal Service, we're here to deliver fast and reliable service to help you get holiday ready. We offer free package pickup and deliver free shipping supplies to your address. So whether you're in Garland, Texas, Rudolph, Wisconsin, or anywhere in between, we're making it easier for you to spread festive cheer this holiday season. USPS, delivering for America. For all your holiday needs, including info about free shipping supplies, free package pickup availability and restrictions, go to usps.com/holidays.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
Welcome back, Dirtbags, and we're talking about the regular season awards. We're down to the managers now, so let's carry on, Nolan. Get dirty.
AL Managers of the Year, Terry Francona, Brandon Hyde, Scott Servais. National League Managers of the Year, Dave Roberts, Buck Showalter, Brian Snitker. American League, this is a good one. I actually like this one. Terry Francona obviously takes the youngest team in baseball to the playoffs, 92-win team. Brandon Hyde, I feel like most other years, Brandon Hyde probably wins it just because you look at how bad the Baltimore Orioles have been for a long time. And all of a sudden, boom, they bring up Adley. They right the ship. They finish 83-79. And I don't believe anybody and their mother had them predicted to win over 65 games this year. I think that's fair to say. He wins 83 games. That is a huge improvement on the team. You're looking at the up and coming players in the upper minor league system. And, I mean, you love the way that it goes, but my vote goes to Scott Servais. Finally got them over the hump. First playoff since 2001. End the drought. Great way to end the year. I think he's going to get it this year.
Wow. I'm going to go back to Terry Francona for sure. I mean, when you look at preseason and where the White Sox were projected all across the world, right? And what he did with them and what he can do, it's just, wow. It's impressive what he's been able to do in Boston and now in Cleveland. And he just carries on and quietly is one heck of a manager.
He's a winner.
Guys obviously love playing for him, man. Like you said, youngest team in baseball right now. And they were hungry. Like you watch those games and you could see, you know, maturity out of them, confidence, discipline, fun, but just a desire to play. And that's, again, we talk about it all the time, right? With managers and what do you really put a value on them in that? I believe totally that they don't get enough credit most times. They really don't get enough credit. They get underscored. I don't know, man. For me, Francona. I love what Servais did. You hit the nail on the head. He got them over the hump. He stayed the course. He was hard on them, hard on opponents when he needed to. But for me, that quiet Terry Francona just, I'm in on Terry.
National League, genuinely pissed off by the Manager of the Year candidates. Dave Roberts, I'm sorry. Is it just because he won 111 games? Is that why he's a finalist? That guy's a bum. I think he should have been fired. That guy year in, year out, I don't know. He just pisses me off. I don't think he should be manager of the Dodgers. I think if you replace him, this is literally basically your point. Get a new manager in there. See if they can actually win a championship because outside of the COVID year, they look absolutely useless in the playoffs most years. So to me, yeah, Dave Roberts, maybe because he won 111 games, that's why he's a finalist. Buck Showalter. I love Buck. I wanted the Cardinals to hire Buck. Obviously, they went Ollie Marmol. Brian Snitker. I don't know. To me, it's just not a really powerful thing. The weird thing is, this is the first year in forever that it seems like the Bob Melvin's not a finalist.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, Snitker, you got to give hats off, right? You know what? He puts them... What brings them back from what 20 games down almost or whatever it was back. They win the East again. That would go against Buck obviously or whatever. And that he couldn't hold on with them and stuff like that. You know, I hope for Buck, he gets it. Cause again, you all know, like Nolan said, we're Buck Showalter fans and that, I love what he did in his first year. He got a lot of guys corrected, a lot of guys focused on team baseball and getting going. They lost it a little bit at the end, but that comes with the, you know what? all of a sudden you're losing. We've all been there. I'm sure you all have. When all of a sudden you're winning and you start losing, it's not just a manager that can right that ship. You need a collective unit in there. And they just lost some focus, lost a little bit. I hope he can get it done. I hope he can. Because exactly right, Roberts, I'm not in on him at all. Snicker, I'm fine if Snicker gets it again or whatever, and I'm okay with that. But fingers crossed for Buck.
Then just the last awards, you got your Hank Aaron Awards, voted to the top overall offensive player in both leagues. Aaron Judge for the American League, Paul Goldschmidt for the National League. Obviously, both guys took home the MLBPA, like the Players Association, awards as well for the top hitters in both leagues. So shout out to them. I mean, it doesn't really surprise either of us on both of those guys. But let's jump into some of the early offseason activity that's happened. Obviously, you got Edwin Diaz signing the massive contract extension. 5-year, 102, $12 million signing bonus. Biggest, obviously, relief pitcher free agent contract in MLB history. First one to get over $20 million. A guy that 2 years ago was a write-off. This past year turns into, I'd imagine, probably Rule Aid. What do they call it? The National League relief pitcher of the year? Raleigh Fingers? Or is that American League? Trevor Hoffman might be the National League. I can't remember. Whatever the heck they call it, he's winning the, I'd imagine he'll win the relief pitcher of the year for the National League. I think it's just risky, but I mean, let's be honest, the Mets are willing to spend $300 million to try and lose in the wild card round. So if they want to go out and sign a $102 million relief pitcher for the next 5 years, tip my cap to you guys. That's a heck of a risk you guys are taking.
I'm just blown away by it. It doesn't make sense to me at all. It really doesn't. Like you said, last year, abysmal. This year, hey, corrects it. Like I said at the top of the show, relievers, we all know, short memories. Go out there. He's got electric stuff. There's no question about it. But 102, ridiculous to me. Ridiculous. But if you're other relievers out there this offseason, you're loving life. Made your life a whole lot better. Thanks, Mr. Cohen, for writing that big check.
Jake Odorizzi traded to the Texas Rangers. Him and Cash bringing back Colby Allard. Colby Allard, I mean, he was traded in 2019 to the Texas Rangers by the Atlanta Braves. Another left-handed, I'm going to guess, starting pitcher. I don't know what their role for him is going to be. Going down the line here, I mean, I'd imagine he'll probably slide into a relief role because you're looking at the rest of that rotation. It's kind of tough to crack that rotation. But obviously a guy that Colby Allard, they have a history with. They like his stuff. I'm kind of surprised. I want to know what the cash is that's going back because that deal just basically got announced during the middle of our podcast. So it's going to be interesting because Odorizzi's owed a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about it because the offseason for me rolls right through Mr. Judge. You got Trey Turner out there. You got some of those big guys. I can see it becoming a huge trade year. I might be wrong, but I those guys are just such high ticket money guys that I can see a lot of trades happening. And I'm excited about that because there's a lot of teams that need to be trading players, getting movement if they're going to go ahead and look at contending in 2023. The Blue Jays jump right out to me or whatever and that. Like, they got to quit fooling around. Everybody's been talking about the catcher situation for pitchers and different stuff like that. They know what they need. They know they've got the surplus. Figure it out. You're gonna make something right out of it. You're going to make something wrong out of it, whether it's a Danny Jansen, whether it's an Alejandro Kirk. Some people are trying to get the Marino in there for them. You got to make that move right there. So there's one trade right off the bat that I'm talking about. I can see other teams looking at that too, because what's Judge going to settle in at? $500 million?
No.
Or are they going to go short-term, high average?
He's too old to get the $500 million. I think it'll be probably, well, I mean, he turned down $7,215. So I guess that's got to be the floor. It's going to be interesting, man. I could realistically see him doing a Carlos Correa type of deal. Like, I hope he doesn't for his sake. I'd imagine he'll probably get about an 8-year, 280, 270, somewhere in that range. But at the same time, I realistically could see him doing a 4-year, $200 million deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know how that one will work out for him because, well, it's like every year, right? It just depends. You're thinking one way, and all of a sudden, a team out of nowhere just backs up the truck and says, here, let's rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is it for the uniforms? Is it for the jersey sales? Is it for whatever? I guess it depends on who signs them, right, ultimately. Mm-hmm. But I think, well, it goes through him. It's as simple as that. It really does. And Turner's not far behind.
No.
Like, they're right there, hand in hand. Again, I mean, I'm looking at that Turner going shortstop, second, third base. I'm liking him a hell of a lot more than Judge.
Oh, well, that's me the personally, thing. I'd pay Trey Turner the most money this offseason, personally.
I agree.
Because he's got the durability, he's got the youth, and he does literally everything on the field that you
everything.
Want. He's everything. He's a 2-3, well, he's a 1-2-3 hitter. You put him anywhere in those
steals bases.
Yep.
No, average, that's home runs. Thing.
Good enough defense.
Absolutely.
Like, sorry, when I said Aaron Judge, I meant 5-year $200, not 4-year $200. No one, I don't think anybody's getting the $50 million. But yeah, no, Trey Turner to me, I mean, he's got to be the big guy. But you were talking about catchers, and I think this really falls back on whoever loses out on the Wilson Contreras sweepstakes. Because you got obviously the Toronto Blue Jays, and then you got Oakland Athletics, I think, top two in terms of catcher availability. Because catchers, I mean, you got Oakland, they got Shea Langeliers.
Yep.
Langlers, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name correct or not, but he was a guy that they got from the Atlanta Braves. They moved him out to the outfield because obviously they got Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy's entering arbitration now, and you know the way the Oakland Athletics operate. Like you said, though, Toronto Blue Jays, obviously a team that has a plethora of catching depth. It's going to be interesting, though. Like I said, Wilson Contreras realistically controls the catcher market. Because whoever loses out on those sweepstakes, they're going to be calling up the Toronto Blue Jays or they'll be calling up Oakland Athletics trying to swing a deal.
Yeah, you have to, right? You need that stalwart back there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We know that. You know what? Catchers can do so many things. Look at the Cardinals. You know, you lose out on Molina for the first time since, what, 2003. And that's a big change. I don't care who you are, man. Those pitchers are looking at a different face back there for the first time in a long time. And even when he's not back there and he's on the bench or whatever, and he's still that guy you're going to talk to if something just isn't working out, right? Or, hey, what do you see me doing? What am I missing in my mechanics? What do I need to adjust? You know, and I know the Cardinals will work hard on getting him on the bench. There's no question about it. They'll find a place for him somewhere. They've already picked up your main man, Matt Holliday, you said. So,
amen.
So, you know, Cardinals are one that jumps right out at me. I know you're looking at the Contreras possibility. I don't know if they get it done or not.
Well, he reached out to Jose Quintana, and I mean, they were former teammates. Jose Quintana apparently gave him glowing reviews of St. Louis and everything like that. No, I doubt Jose Quintana will be back with the Cardinals as he's a pending free agent. But you're looking at it, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. They've obviously played against each other a bunch. He's got tons of history in the National League Central. They need a catcher. Like, Andrew Kisner's a fine backup, but that's about it. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Because, yeah, like I said, I mean, there's tons of teams that need a catcher. Realistically, you're looking at it, and there's tons of teams. Now, Texas Rangers make a lot of sense, too, to me, for trying to go out there and get Wilson Contreras. They're a team that's willing to spend money.
That could happen.
They need the catcher. I get it. They got Sam Huff in the minor leagues and brought him up a little bit last year. But, I mean, to me, he's just too big to be a catcher. He's your he's like Matt Wieters. He's, what, 6'5", 230, something like that, 235? Yeah, he's a
monster.
Yeah, I could realistically see him moving over to first base or being a DH. Because obviously third base, they got Josh Young over there, and you can't really replace that.
And they've already said they're going to be aggressive again this offseason, right? Yeah. So I can see them moving in with trades for sure. They want to do some stuff after letting Daniels go and the management. And, you know, they're going to want to do something spectacular. So you're going to see a lot of exciting trades. I really do believe in that. I think the Turners and the Judge are going to take too long to get it going, right? And figure out where they're happening. So I think you're going to see a lot of trade opportunities and come to fruition before that time ends. So, but anyways, that's our thoughts on it. Everybody, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. And Nolan will be back here with his final thoughts here in a second.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, face the facts. You made a mistake. You made a bad purchase. A timeshare is not an investment. It's a money pit that continues forever. If you use your timeshare, that's great. But if you don't and you want to legally get out of your contract, call my friends right now at the Timeshare Exit Hotline. They're an experienced team of lawyers who help good people like you get out of a timeshare contract that they just don't want. Don't throw away your money on maintenance fees. Use it for things you really want. We can help you end your timeshare contract and stop the money drain immediately. If you're ready to move on with your timeshare, call our team right now.
Cancel your timeshare now with a free call.
800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. That's 800-824-5131.
Welcome back, Dirk Beggs, and it's time for Nolan's final thoughts.
So, it's that time of year again when the old boys that were off of the Hall of Fame ballot get voted in by their peers, former managers, former executives, stuff like that. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, Rafael Palmeiro, Fred McGriff, Barry Bonds. I love it. He better get in. Curt Schilling, love it. Better get in. Roger Clemens, better get in. All those steroid boys, man, I don't care. That was the era of baseball. The point of a Hall of Fame is to tell the history of a sport. Those guys dominated that era of baseball, steroids or not. Those guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. You can't sit here and tell me that you wouldn't put Barry Bonds in right field for your team for any of the years that he played. Roger Clemens, same thing. You're starting him one out of every five games. Curt Schilling, one out of every five games. Fred McGriff, he's going to be an interesting one. I'm a big Fred McGriff guy. I hope he gets in. 493 career home runs. One of the best defensive, well, one of the best first basemen of his period that didn't take steroids and should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. Now, to get in, you need 12 out of the 16 votes. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, but that's my final thought. Fred McGriff and all the steroid boys, put him in.
Well, there you have it. There you have it, dirtbags. Be sure to check out Rip Grip Pro, ripgrippro.com. Thank you for sponsoring. Thanks for being a part of the Dirtbag Baseball Talk Show here on Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network. Dirtbags, I said it at the top of the show, I'll say it again. We have Remembrance Day, we have Veterans Day coming up. Take some time to really reflect on how lucky we are to be able to do what we do every single day because of all the veterans and all the present military out there around the world doing what they do for us to live the type of life that we do. Can't thank you enough. God bless you. And I mean it from the bottom of their hearts, from no one myself. Dirtbags, we love it that you're part of the nation. We can't thank you enough for being a part of the nation. And Nolan, it's time to get up, get after it, and get dirty. Do what you do.
Hey, thanks for listening once again, Dirtbags. Stay tuned because it's going to be a hell of a ride.